Many tell me that have asked me on many different occasions, that is, what's the value of learning B'Iyun? Why is it that we spend so much of our time invested in learning B'Iyun? We also believe in learning B'Kiyus, that it's very, very important for a person. There's a mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah, as the Shulchan Aruch HaRav speaks out in Hilchos Talmud Torah. But nevertheless, particularly at this stage of life, and I would argue even in all stages of life, the value of B'Iyun is extremely, extremely important. So why is it so important? Particularly that there are times that the initial stages are extremely, extremely difficult. Why is it so important? So I'd like to suggest four basic components that are necessary in understanding the value of B'Iyun and Amelus B'Torah. Number one, Parshas B'Chukosai starts off in B'Chukosai Teleichu Shetiyu Amelim B'Torah, that a person should be Amel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. The best way for a person to feel challenged and entirely involved in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, time and time and time again we've seen, is if a person is challenged by a particular issue. If he feels that his responsibility is just to memorize, to know what it says, as opposed to really trying to get to the bottom of every single issue, there aren't many people that I've seen that are true Amelim B'Torah who don't become possessed with being ma'ayin into a sugya. So that is an extremely important point. And that is that we know that Chazal emphasized Shetiyu Amelim B'Torah. And in order for that to happen, so then what's necessary is a sense of passion to understanding the problems in Torah. Not what's clear, but also those things that are unclear. Along those lines, the Gemara tells us in Brachos that a person has a chiyuv to learn Torah kinesinaso b'sinai. And the Gemara learns halachos from it. The Gemara says that there's a chiyuv to learn Torah as if it was given at Har Sinai. And the Gemara says, for that reason, a person is not allowed to learn Torah when he's not learning be'ema b'resas u'b'zeya. When a person is learning and he's laid back, so then in such a case, that's a chisaron in Talmud Torah. To the point that maybe if you take the Gemara literally, that would mean that if someone learns Torah without that sense of be'ema b'resas u'b'zeya, could be he's actually, there's a chisaron in his Talmud Torah. I always give examples of this. Right, Braunschweig used to say he can't understand how someone learns Torah drinking a Coke. Why? He was a Holocaust survivor. In his world, Coca-Cola, it represents the lap of luxury. So for us today, the Coca-Cola is just a way to keep up. There's no chisaron in Ravelli's Amelus B'Torah, but he's drinking a Coke in the morning. He's drinking a Coke because he wants the caffeine to stay up. But to Rabbi Braunschweig, in his world, Coke represented a chisaron in Be'ema Beresis U'Bezeya. But in our world as well, there are other examples of chisaron of Ema Beresis U'Bezeya. An example in our world where there would be a chisaron of learning Be'ema Beresis U'Bezeya, Lanias Daiti, is for someone to be. I'll give you another example. I remember when I was young, there was a guy in one of the advanced shiurim in YU, very intellectual, challenging shiur. He was doing chazar for a very, very difficult shiur, but he was doing chazar. I wasn't even doing chazara. I was sitting in the lobby watching shiurs. In those days, I didn't learn as much as I do today. I was in the lobby watching shiurs this is essentially my Shana Aleph. I went straight from my 12th grade to YU. So I was in the lobby watching shiurs, and he was sitting and doing chazar for the Bechina, but he was sitting in the YU lobby with the couch, and he had these index cards of memorizing shitas. I think he was memorizing the shita, the Or Zeruah. So I didn't even know who the Or Zeruah was. He's one of the late Balei Tosfos, so I didn't even know who the Or Zeruah was. But he's memorizing the Or Zeruah with cheers playing in the background and leaning on the sofa. So that much I knew, even though I wasn't learning that much, but I realized at that moment that there was a chisaron over there of learning be'ema, beresas, ubezeya. That means when we learn, there's a certain way we're supposed to sit. You don't sit on a sofa and learn Torah. That's not to say that at 12 o'clock at night when you're exhausted, you can't open up Pirkei Avos and lean back on the sofa. But what I am saying is that when you're sitting in the Beis HaMedrash, when you're experiencing that kinesinas of the Sinai, the halacha mandates that it has to be done be'emo b'resus u'zeh. Different context, the definition of be'emo b'resus u'zeh might be different. But it's something for us to really keep in mind that there's a requirement of kinesinasa bisina. So firstly, connected to the first idea about the challenge, so kinesinasa bisina, the expression that's used at Har Sinai, is vayaris hakolos. Klal Yisrael saw the kolos. Klal Yisrael saw the sounds. So what does that indicate? Well, we have no idea what that meant for thousands of years that Klal Yisrael saw the sounds. But now we know that if you take out the right measure, you could actually study the sounds. You could create a visual reproduction of sound waves. You could show someone on a monitor sound waves. You could see it. The point is that at the time of Kabbalah HaTorah, and that's the way our learning is supposed to be, there has to be clarity. If a person is just memorizing the shitas, a person is just running through the Gemaras, but there isn't a sense of clarity where this din is from, what it's about, what are the bones behind the din, what's the motivation behind the din, and so on and so forth, that becomes lacking in kinesinas obesinai. So point number one emanates from this idea, the sense of clarity of kinesinas obesinai, and in Har Sinai there's a certain clarity. Now I don't say that at Har Sinai we had a clarity of what Reb Chaim said is pshat in the Rambam. That becomes a separate discussion. Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach Moshe Rabbeinu everything that in all Doros they were going to say? It seems to be not, because the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu came into Rabbi Akiva's Beis HaMedrash and he didn't understand Shir. So it seems to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't teach. But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything. But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did teach was with clarity. And therefore, in us recreating that Kinesinas HaBesinai, we have a responsibility to learn with clarity. Number two, importance of learning B'iyun, second rationale of the significance of learning B'iyun, is ultimately, at the end of the day, there are two valuable things that we have. One is our neshama and our lev, and the other is our moach. Actually, where you put neshama might be a machlokis between the Baal HaTanya and others, but at the end of the day, the moach is an extremely, extremely important part of Avodas Hashem. And the way we process HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, our cognizant processing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, is through our moach. When we learn Bikiyas and we memorize Shitos, so you could have someone that really has a lot of Yedios, but how to think like Chazal. How to think? If he doesn't force himself to think, then he's never going to think like the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to think. The rationale, the Svaras HaTorah, is something that permeates the way we look, not only at the sugya, but a person who learns how to think, like Chazal did, how the Chachmei HaMesorah did, so then that eventually connects them to a process of thinking that's a nobler and loftier way of thinking. So number two, the second value of learning Bi'yun is that when one learns Bi'yun, one begins to think in a mode that is unrelated to the more earthly way of thinking, that one begins to look at problems in a much more spiritual way and a much loftier way. I want to give you an example of that. I remember once there was a Talmud who used to stand actually where Baruch is standing right now. Very, very good fellow. And he called me up once and he was on the West Coast at the time, and he said he had the following issue, and we began to discuss it. And he said, you know, Rebbe, the way we're taking apart this issue is very, very similar to the way we take apart a sugya. And that's true. If you begin to think methodically the way Chazal did, then many of life's issues, that's not to say that there aren't times that one has to take into account deep emotions and so on, for sure. But at the same time, if one begins a systematic way of thinking, learns a systematic way of thinking and approaching sugyas bi'iyun, that will affect not only the way they look at every Torah issue, but will affect the way in which you look at every single part of your lives. And the truth is, it happens to be that the style, that the tradition from the Volozhiner Yeshiva, what's called sometimes referred to, and not exclusively, referred to as the Brisker Derech HaLimud, is an extremely methodical way of processing a sugya. And that process could often be extremely, extremely helpful when you look at challenges that you're seeing in your life. I just have to say, I put one big caveat with that, and that is I don't endorse people that look at life's problems only as being intellectual problems. Most of the time, there's a tremendous amount of emotion that's involved. But sometimes it's important to be able to categorize and to be able to take apart that problem in a methodical way. The more and more you begin to look at a sugya in a methodical way, the more and more you'll be able to look at the sugya in your life that you're facing in a methodical way, number one. And number two is to be able to look at that topic from the perspective of the logic of Torah. That the logic of Torah, which you learned in processing things bi'iyun, that will be something that Be'ezer Hashem you will use in your entire processing of life's problems, or life's challenges, I should say. And that's something that is also invaluable. It's a matan schar b'tzida. That's not why we learn bi'iyun. We learn bi'iyun because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to learn bi'iyun. Shetiyu ha'melim b'torah. And he wants us to think like him. It happens to be that there's a tremendous matan schar b'tzida. You should know that systematic way of thinking is a way of thinking that will take you throughout your life and will be very, very helpful in many issues. Now, let me continue with that nekuda. Once one begins to think in a certain manner, think with the Chachmas HaTorah, think through the filter of Chachmas HaTorah, and one also, at the same time, works on one Avodas Hashem, not only in the Moach, but also in the Lev, so then one's hargashos, one's emotions, become filtered through the emotions of Torah. And then one's entire being becomes suffused with that perspective, of that divine perspective. But if one doesn't begin to start bi'iyun, to begin to think, begin to break apart a problem the way the Chachmei HaMesorah broke apart a problem, so then one never will train oneself. It could be one will continue learning many, many hours, daf yomi, and memorizing mishnayos and so on. But when push comes to shove, when there's a challenge, when there's a problem, so just like when there's a challenge and there is a problem in the Rambam, we begin to see how the Chachmei HaMesorah learned it, we begin to see how our Rebbeim learned it, we begin to see how our Chavrusas learned it, we begin to see how the Beis HaMedrash learns it up. The same thing when there's a cognitive struggle that a person is having, one will be able to have that perspective. The same way when it comes to the challenge of Hargasha. The Yetzer Hara sometimes challenges us in Hargashos that are not appropriate. If one begins to be Ma'orer, that filter, that Hargasha Satorah, so then before long, every Hargasha, every emotion, I'm falling in love with this girl. So what type is that? Is that emotion an emotion that's consistent with the emotion of Torah or not? So when we were younger, it could very well be that emotion was really not an emotion that had anything to do with Torah. It might have been very, very foreign. But if one has a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Avas Hashem, so then that Abba that one has for that girl, so then one, is that consistent with the standards of Abba that one has, of Avas Hashem, of Abba Beinadon L'Mokom Beinadon L'Chaver, is that inconsistent? The more and more that becomes part of that one's implicit heritage, the more and more one lives an entire lifestyle that's consistent with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. So that's a value of Iyun, and that value parallels itself in the world of Hargasha as well. So just to summarize what we've had up until now. The Gemara tells us in Brachos that the Amelus B'Torah has to be Kinesinasa B'Sinai, and the Kinesinasa B'Sinai means to have a certain sense of the clarity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. And that excitement and challenge, that's din number one. The challenge of having that clarity recreates that kinesinasa b'sinai, which often is only created in iyun. And number two is that when one begins to learn bi'iyun, one begins to see the svaras ha-Torah, one begins to see how Chazal thought. That process filters the way in which one looks at everything, and one's koach hachashiva, one's thinking process, becomes a thinking process that is mimics the thinking process of Kaviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, and is a way in which one deals with the world's challenges in the most healthful, most healthy intellectual way. And then we added that the same would apply also in terms of hargashos. Just like one works on one's hargashos in Avodas Hashem and Avodas HaNefesh, so too then you'll be able to process all of your emotions through a filter that's closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of looking at emotions as opposed to the street's way of emotions. That's the second value of learning B'iyun. The third value, here we begin to get more, a little bit more abstract in each one of the, if you will, even a little bit more Kabbalistic as we go on. So the third value over here of learning B'iyun is the following. You able, Binyamin, you're able to hear? Is it? Okay. The third value is the following. Kinesinasa b'sinai, again coming back with that opening Gemara, Kinesinasa b'sinai does not only mean to have the clarity of Torah and to think like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it means also in a very, very pragmatic way to be connected with Har Sinai, to be a part of that Kabbalah HaTorah. So one is to try to attain one's own, one's clarity. Number two is to try to learn how to think like at Har Sinai. But number three is to be connected in a very, very practical way. And that is that I feel when I learn, and Rav Soloveitchik writes this writes about this very, very beautifully in a famous essay, I feel that when I'm learning, I'm not just learning myself and learning with you. I feel that I'm learning from my Rabbeim, who learn from their Rabbeim, and that connects back and back to the Gra, through the Rishonim, back to Kabbalah HaTorah. In fact, Avi had asked me, one of the Teirots that we had given to Rabbi Kiva Eger's Kashav, Eidosh Yatiyochel Azima, so Avi found that Rav Soloveitchik said something very, very similar to it. I hadn't looked up what Rav Soloveitchik had said. Why? Why is it that I said something similar to what he had said? Because eventually, as being part of a Shalsheles HaMesorah, one begins to think like the way the Shalsheles HaMesorah thought. But not only in terms of the way of thinking, that's what we spoke about in the second din, but very, very practically. I don't feel that this Torah is that something that truly happened 2,000 years ago, that there was a Kabbalah HaTorah, and now I'm learning it up again. But rather I feel that I am learning something that was passed down from generation to generation, that was a Moreshes that was given to me from my Rabbein. Now the only way that one, that feeling could be achieved is one, when one feels that one is passing down the challenges of Iyun from one generation to the next. If one is just simply saying over information, it's very, very, very hard, not saying impossible, but it's very, very, very hard to be able to take that and be able to feel as if there is a Shalsheles HaMesorah. Firstly, because how much could we really, really remember that our Rabbein said? There's only a certain amount that we could remember. But if we pass on the Koach HaChashiva, the process of thinking, if we could be made that this is how, sometimes, I haven't done it this year, but I ask the Talmidim sometimes, what would Reb Chaim say about this? How would the Vilna Gaon approach it? Actually, sometimes the Vilna Gaon might have approached it differently than Reb Chaim. How would Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev approach it? On Sukkot, I always tell over a story where the story starts the exact same with Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev and with the Vilna Gaon, the story starts, the first part of the story is all the same, and it ends up in a totally different place. So you as a Yid, as a Ben Torah, have to decide. Not what your derech is going to be. But you're going to choose through the drachim of the Chachmei HaMesorah, what's the way that you're going to, how are you going to feel connected to Shalsheles HaTorah? And ultimately that's going to affect your way of thinking, but in a very, very practical way. As Rav Soloveitchik described, that when he sits down and he learns, he feels that the Rambam sits down next to him on one side, the Ravid on the other, and they're fighting it out. When he's masbir the Shitas of Rambam, it's really the Rambam talking. When he's masbir the Ravid, it's the Ravid talking. So that when we learn, number one, we are re-bi'iyun. We are recreating the Shitas, that the Shita becomes alive, the Manda Omar himself comes alive, not just that we're memorizing what was once said. We bring him to life. We bring that Shita to life. And we bring the opposing view to life. And there becomes a Melchamta Shel Torah. That's the first way that we feel very, very tangibly connected to the Shalshelas HaMesorah, number one. And number two is when we get the Koach HaChashiva, the way that they thought. And again, there isn't the monolithic way of thinking. There's Reb Levi Yitzchak's way of dealing with the problem, and there's the Gra's way of dealing with the problem. Yirtzeh Hashem on Sukkos will discuss it. There are two different ways of looking at it. But either way, when we develop that koach hachashiva, when we develop that process of thinking, so then we ourselves become, in a very, very pragmatic way, in a very, very practical way, ones who are connected kinesinasa besina. So this, again, this kinesinasa besina in terms of the excitement of learning Torah, mamish kinesinasa besinai, the challenge of iyun. Number two is the clarity of thinking, to begin to think like the way Chazal do. Number three is a more practical way where, now, on the one hand, it's practical, that I feel that I'm connected to the Shalshelas HaMesorah, and the Talmidim that learn from me, I feel that I'm giving over to them a chelik of that Shalshelas HaMesorah, that they themselves become that next link in the chain. On the other hand, it's on the one hand it's practical, on the other hand it's Kabbalistic. If I told you that I felt that the Rambam was a good friend of mine, you would say that doesn't make any sense. The Rambam lived 900 years ago, but the Rambam was a good friend of Rav Soloveitchik, and because he was a good friend of Rav Soloveitchik, I feel that he's a good friend of mine as well. I don't know if I have that same sense of clarity that he did, that mamish, when I open up the Rambam, I feel that the Rambam is mamish sitting down next to me, but at the same time there is that tremendous sense of connection to the Shalshelas HaMesorah. And one only achieves that when one learns B'iyun. Those are really the three most important values. I'll just throw out one more that we speak about when we learn Nefesh HaChaim, and that is on a Kabbalistic level. This is entirely removed almost all rationale. Reb Chaim Volozhiner emphasizes that the highest madrega of Talmud Torah is the Koach HaChidush. And that is the ability for someone to bring out something new in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah that's never been brought out before. Now for sure, a person has to be able to read properly before they do that. For sure, there's so many skills that a person needs to be able to achieve. You can't skip steps. But you should know that the highest madrega of Talmud Torah is the Koach HaChidush. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into Torah so much implicit chachma that wasn't brought out yet. Even out of Yom HaZeh wasn't entirely brought out. That's why I got so excited when Jordy was Miyashiv Rabbi Akiva Eger's Kasha. Why? Because now there was something implicit in the sugya that had never been brought out before. That's something that's absolutely exhilarating, to bring out a kernel of Torah that hasn't been brought out. That's what the Gemara means when it says that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand the shir of Rabbi Akiva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not critical of Moshe Rabbeinu. He's not critical of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was darshaning more than Moshe Rabbeinu knew. And that means that every generation could bring out something more that didn't exist in the previous generation. That, of course, could only happen b'iyun. If one doesn't reach that madrega of pounding and pounding and pounding and trying to understand the omek ha-sugya, so then ultimately this chidush, which Reb Chaim Volozhiner describes in Nefesh HaChaim, is that just like we're mechadesh in Torah and we have the koach elokus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we could recreate new worlds, that ability to create worlds, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates, is through the koach hachidush of Torah. Now the koach hachidush doesn't have to be as fancy as being Yashiv Rabbi Akiva Eger's Kasha. Even noticing something new in the sugya, alright, so someone noticed it before, someone didn't notice it before, but noticing something new that's new for the Beis HaMedrash itself, for our Beis HaMedrash, is also creating a new light, is creating a new art. So with that is also comes along a tremendous, tremendous value of learning B'iyun. Again, this last fourth is by far the most abstract. It's by far the most abstract. Also, it has to be taken with a grain of salt that one can't skip steps. And the goal should not be to be mechadish chidushim. The true chidushim come about when one strives for havana, and when one strives for havana, so then a chidush emerges. So these are the four values of learning biyun. Mirtzeh Hashem, later today, I'd like to connect this to the avodah of Rosh Hashanah itself. But this is in of itself a topic of by itself, and that's the four values of learning biyun. Okay. We'll stop here with Avodas HaNefesh. Scheduled today, Bezer Hashem, is the following. Rav Nati is going to give...